John 6 and verse 16. I trust that you're there. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Literally in the Greek it reads, "I am. Be not afraid." We read it in our translation, "It is I," but in a literal sense, he looks at him and says, "I am the same I am that looked at Moses at that burning bush and said, 'I am.'" The same Jesus Christ that looks at those disciples and says, "I am. Be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Let me talk to you for a few moments tonight from God's Word. Let me just speak to you on this thought. Storms. Storms. Is there anybody here that hadn't already had a storm in 2010? I doubt it. We need God to help us, don't we? We need His Word to speak to us. Let's slip up our hands to heaven. Let's believe God that He's going to move in the remainder of this service. Come on, church. Let's press in with our prayers. Father, thank you. Come on, pray, church. Father, thank you. Thank you for your divine Word. Thank you, God, for your divine nature, for your divine goodness. I pray, God, that you would have your own way in this house. I pray, God, that your mercy would be upon us. I pray, God, that your grace would touch us. We need you in this house. We need the mercy of God to minister and move. We need God to bless and help. God, I pray that you would have your own way, that you would touch and that you would bless. I ask you, Jesus, that you would anoint every aspect of this service. God, break down every stronghold and every chain. Lord, God, break every spirit of doubt and fear. Lord, minister to us. We don't know what this week holds. We don't know what's around the corner. But tonight is a night we can press in. Tonight is a night we can get a hold of God for fresh fire and fresh help for an upcoming week. We praise you in Jesus' holy name. Everyone said amen. Oh, friend, if we could have only have just started this chapter in verse number 1 and not verse 16. Oh, how it would have made such a difference in our understanding of the Scriptures tonight. If we could only just maybe turn back the hand of time ever so slightly and just started the story tonight, not when evening was now come, but whenever morning was there, because you have to understand, it was on this very, very same day that Jesus is able to feed 5,000 with 2 little fish and 5 little loaves. My, is this one of those days where they looked around and said, "It just can't get any better of a day"? They turn around, 5,000 folks are out there. Next thing you know, they're breaking bread and giving everybody everything that they need. Even in fact, so much bread that there's 12 basketfuls left over. As if to say, each one of these disciples is able to take one of them home with them. That's how much God was supplying the needs that day. Oh, what a beautiful day that it was. Those disciples looked around, smiling at one another, no doubt shaking hands, and, sure has been a good day. Oh, it's been a great day in the Lord. Hasn't God met every, God's met every need right here. Oh, here's a new visitor. Did you get plenty to eat today? I'm telling you what, this Jesus that we serve, he sure is in the business of making sure that we're fed every day. He meets every one of our needs. Wants to make sure that you come back with us next Sunday. God bless you. We appreciate you coming. Every one of those disciples was full. They were the bellies were full, but they were also full of success and self-confidence now. They're full up to the brim, smiling, saying to themselves, it's just one of those days. And all of a sudden, just like that, a storm begins to rise. I mean, how could it be, Brother Barty, that in the middle of a perfectly good day, in the middle of a perfectly good time, all of a sudden storms begin to arise. They get inside of that little boat, and all of a sudden it happens. The winds begin to arise. Angry winds begin to beat against the sea with its fist. And all of a sudden those waves begin to slap the face of every disciple, and a storm has come upon them. How many of you know it does not take 3 months for a storm to hit your life? It does not take a week for a storm to hit your life. In fact, you know what? With as little as one phone call, a storm can hit your home. With as little as one doctor's visit, a storm can be in your life. It doesn't take long, baby, for storms to come up. It doesn't take years for storms to begin to arise. I can remember as a small boy, I'd be out on that water with my granddaddy. He's a superman, and he'd look out across that bay, and he'd see all that, just one little cloud off in the distance. He'd say, come on, we gotta get in. I'd say, wait a second, that thing's so far away. But before we could get back to shore, we would be in a storm. It happens just like that. It happens on some days where you never, never expect it. It happens on some times when you don't even know where did it come from. It happens sometimes out of the least possible direction to move it here. You know, beloved, sometimes God, I truly believe this, God sometimes warns us of the storms to come. There's times God has spoke to people's hearts, and just to tell them to get down to pray, not saying that the storm's going to be avoided, but He gives them preparation beforehand. He begins to deal with their life and let them know that you need to get down and pray, and you need to get down and hold a God. There are some storms that God begins to warn you over. I can remember years ago, some of you heard me say this, I wasn't married yet. I was just staying at that home with that pastor, and he had a spare bedroom, and just staying there with him. Woke up that next morning, and usually when somebody asks you, how did you rest? It's kind of a rhetorical question. They don't really want to know every detail. I mean, it's almost like asking somebody, how do you do? Hate to break this to you, but we don't want to know every problem you got. How do you do? Doing good. How are you doing? It's called a cultural thing, but that's what we mean. But he asked me, saying, how did you rest? And normally you'd say, well, good. How would you? But I looked at that preacher and said, I'm sorry, preacher, but I can't say I rested well at all. He said, why, Brother Zane? And don't get me wrong, I'm not one just given to every dream. There's some folks, I mean, they dream all the time. It ain't God. Sometimes it's the buttermilk and onions they had before they went to bed. But sometimes God begins to speak to us. And I said, Pastor, I dreamed the strangest dream. I'd seen five little tornadoes. And you could see them, but they weren't doing too much with their there. But all of a sudden, a sixth tornado arose. And those five tornadoes came behind that sixth tornado. And as if it were, gave their power and their strength into that tornado. And it became one great tornado. I said, I could see it as it began to tear up everything in sight. He never took his eyes off of it. He called for his wife in the kitchen. Said, honey, get in here. He said, Brother Zane, would you please oblige me and tell my wife the same thing you just told me? I said, well, certainly, and I began to tell her the story. And I'd seen five tornadoes, and they were there, but they weren't doing too much. And about that time, she looked at me, and she said these words, and a sixth tornado rose up, didn't it, Brother Zane? And those five tornadoes gave their strength to that sixth tornado, and everything became damaged and tore up. I looked at her, and I said, how did you know that? She said that to me because I had that same dream about 3 weeks ago. It was a great revival. God moved. But about 2 months down the road, about five church bosses all got together and ran that man out of town. Sometimes God tries to warn you. Every now and again, my pastor's wife, Sister McDonald, and hold on, let me call time out right here. Number one, she's from Mississippi. Number two, she's old enough to be my grandma. So every now and again, she'll say, Shug. She can do that. That's legal. She'll say, Shug, you okay? And I'll say, Sister McDonald, I'm praying for you. She'll tell me, she'll say, I'm praying for you. And there's been times, Brother Keller, where she's called and said, Brother Zane, I'm praying for you. You okay? And I'd say, well, I'm fine, Sister McDonald, but I sure appreciate your calling. But I'm telling you what, within about 2 or 3 days, it'll hit. Something will happen. I think, thank God, there was prayer made for this. One time, I remember, I called Sister McDonald. I said, Sister Mac, I'm praying for you. She said, well, sir, I sure appreciate you praying, but everything's fine right now. She called me back about 3 days later. She said, Brother Zane, it finally hit. But when I got down to pray, she said, the Holy Ghost reminded me there has already been a deposit of prayer that is made for this need. Hey, beloved, you know when the greatest time to pray for your next trial? It's right now. It's before you ever get there. The best time to pray it through is not when you're neck deep, but before you ever get there, you already have touched God. You already prayed. You already found the victory's yours. When's the greatest time to pray through my next trial? Right now. There's some trials. When it hits, you ain't got 45 minutes to seek God. You got to make a decision right there. You got to make a decision right now. But thank God. Touch God before. I held on to God and say, I know in whom I have believed. You can touch God now. What about those storms that come out of nowhere? Right over here, church. Right over here. What about those storms that come out of seemingly nowhere? I'm telling somebody tonight, it's time you pray through and touch God before you ever get in the middle of it. Sometimes God sends seasons of peace, not just so you can rest, but that you can prepare. Lord, prepare. And I ain't trying to be a prophet of doom, but here's how life works. You're either in a storm, getting out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. When does it stop, Brother Zane? When you make it into heaven, that's when the storm ceases. That's when the storm stops. That's when the mercy finds itself perfect and complete. But until that day, there's going to be things that we face. There's going to be trials. And hey, beloved, we better get some principles underneath our belt. We better know some things about storms before they ever hit us, that when they do hit us, we'll be able to stand through it. I better be guarded with some principles that when it does come, I'll be able to stand like a rock. That one man said, use a carnal illustration. He said, champions aren't made in the ring. They're just recognized there. In other words, it's what that man did before he got inside of that ring, whether or not he was the champion of that match or not. Beloved, it's how you talk to God before the storm ever comes. It's what you have settled before the storm ever hits. It's how solid and rooted you are with God before the trial ever comes that's going to see you through it when it happens. And I've got to remember tonight, friend, if I ever find myself in a storm, Brother Kelly, number one tonight, I am governed by His providence. Beloved, If you don't get a hold of that tonight, if you don't remember when you're in that storm that God Almighty knows the beginning from the end, you're liable to lose your mind. You're liable to lose your direction. Hey, beloved, God was not taken by chance here. This storm wasn't by happenstance. It didn't take Jesus by surprise. The Father wasn't wringing his hands, wondering what to do. He knew the storm was coming. He knew the storm was there. And he's the one that told him to give the boat. He's the one that got him in the middle of it. Lord, hear me. There are storms of correction, but there are also storms of perfection. Now, old Jonah finds a storm of correction. He's spending the night on a blubber foam mattress. Say amen. It's a storm of correction. And there's some people, the reason their life is so turned upside down is because they've never turned their life over to God. But beloved, if you will put God first in all that you do and all that you say and everything within you and all of your life, when those storms come, it's not to tear you down. It's to see you through in the providence of God. Oh, hallelujah. The very providence of God was the one that brought him in to this place. Matthew 14:22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Jesus looks at those 12 men and says, men, this is God's will for your life. Get in that boat. Get in that boat and go over on the other side. And I'll catch up with you. And they're out there in the middle of that water. And the one question every one of them's got is, who is responsible for getting us inside of this storm? Was this Peter's idea? Was this James's idea? Maybe it was John's idea. Maybe old Judas, you know, always had a funny feeling about him anyway. I mean, could it be his idea? It wasn't Judas and it wasn't John. It was Jesus. It was God that ordained that storm. It was God that allowed you to be squeezed into that place where you're saying, Lord, I'm here, but I'm here in your will. I'm here where you want me, and you're going to see me through. You heard me say it before, I'll say it again. Proverbs 107:24. See the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. He lifteth up the waves thereof. What? Well, the Joy Boys on religious television, they told me, say amen, they told me that I ain't ever going to have another problem again. In fact, if I keep having problems, my problem is I ain't giving them enough money. No, sir, your problem is you check your brain out at the door. Say amen. And you can give every dollar and dime to some showboat on television. It's time you realize there are some storms that God has ordained for you to live through. Ask that man, you heard me say, they asked that man in the French Revolutionary War. They said, what did you do on the day of the French Revolutionary War? And that soldier stood up and he saluted and he simply said these words, I survived. Let me tell you something, beloved. There's been some storms that I've lived through. I ain't never got a 5-point sermon out of it. I ain't never figured out why it come. But all I can tell you this, son, I survived it. I lived through it. I'm still here preaching the Word of God. I didn't backslide over it. I didn't compromise over it. I didn't get bitter over it. I didn't point a bony finger at somebody. I survived. What did you do, Brother Zane? What did you learn? I don't know what I learned. All I know is I lived through it. It didn't kill me. It didn't take me
over. It didn't take me under. I lived through it. I'm still breathing. I'm still walking. And I'm still crying out to God, save me. What you can. All I know is I lived through it. I lived through it. I'm still here. I said, I'm still here. I ain't out at the honky-tonk tonight. I ain't out at the movie theater tonight. I didn't sit home on God tonight. I'm still in the way. It never killed me. It never drowned me. All I can tell you, Brother Peach, is I lived through it. I lived through it. And hell didn't take my soul with it. I lived through it. I've got to remember, before I ever find myself in a storm, number one tonight, I am governed by His providence. I've got to remember tonight, if I'm ever in a storm, I am growing by His plan. I've said it before, but I'll run it by us again. Psalms 4 and 1. I love it. It says, O God of my righteousness, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Hallelujah. Not when I was in comfort. Not when I was at... You want to know when you really were made larger in God? When you was above your head. When, now, come on, just, you don't have to answer me, but be honest with me. When did you really grow most in God? When it was coast downhill or when it was climb uphill? And the amazing thing is that people come down to this altar and they say, oh God, let me do more for you. Lord God, let me be more for you. Lord, let me just grow in God. And God, just let my life be more usable in your hands. And then God says, I'm going to answer your prayer. But here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to shake up your little perfect world. I'm going to turn it upside down. And when it's all over, you'll be able to look at somebody and say, I've been through that same trial. I've been through that same storm. I know what it's like to feel like everything's dark, but I survived it. And there's some places that you'll never be able to touch that other person's life unless you've been where they are. It's like some of these people, and please don't, and let's just a touch of wisdom here. Please don't ever do this. It's like some of those people that walk up to somebody that's lost a child, and them never having lost a child themselves, and the words out of their mouth is, I sure know how you feel. You have no idea what they're faced with. You have no idea what they've lived through. And God forbid anybody have to go through that terrible tragedy. But all I can tell you, beloved, is there are some tragedies that after you survive and live through, you can look at somebody and put your arm around you and say, I don't know why that it happened, but I have felt the same pain and I have felt the same agony, and the same God that kept my mind from going crazy is going to be the same God that keeps you through this heartache. Say, somebody lift up your hands to heaven and say, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for enlarging me. I'm telling you what. I don't know who has to be the official secretary in heaven, but some of these prayer requests say, Lord, enlarge me. And about the time God starts enlarging them, they start praying, God, get me out of the trial. Come on here, it's back and forth. Do you want it or do you not want it? Do you want to grow or do you not want to grow? Do you want to have the experience or not have the experience? When you lay your all on the altar, leave it there. Well, this week, they're praying to grow in God. Next week, they're talking about cutbacks at the workplace.
Ouch.
This week, they've asked me to have more faith. This week, they've asked me to have more patience. Next week, I've got a 3-hour traffic jam scheduled for them so I can answer their prayers. Amen. Say amen. I'm telling you, these prayers, some of you have been praying. By the time God starts answering them, you're ready to push the void button. It's time you let patience have a perfect work. I said, it's time you let patience have a perfect work. Lord, I don't know why I'm here, but all I know is I'm here, and you're going to let me grow from it. If I'm ever in that storm, Zane, you've got to remember, son, I'm governed by His providence. I'm growing in His plan. I am graced by His prayers. John 6:17, entered into a ship and went over toward the sea, toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Why, Brother Zane? Why hasn't Jesus come? Before you cast judgment and point a finger, I want to remind you of Matthew 14:23. And when He sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Why isn't Jesus in that boat with them? Because Jesus is on that mountainside interceding for them. Oh, hallelujah to God. Mark 6:47. And when the evening was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land, listen, and He saw them toiling and rowing. His eye was not off of them. He knew exactly where they were. He was not ignorant of their coordination. He knows where they are, but He's up there praying. He's up there interceding. He's up there communing with the Father. Why are you in this boat with me? Because I'm up on this mountainside praying for you. And rather than me hold your hand, I promise you, you'd rather have the Father touch your heart. Okay, if you just give me a touch of liberty here tonight, can you imagine there you are? And you're in that bedroom of yours, and you finally laid down at night, and you got 1,000,001 problems, and you're looking up to a ceiling, and you see that ceiling fan on low, spinning round in circles. About that time, you begin to say, Jesus, why ain't you in this room with me? Jesus, why ain't you in this room with me? Lord, come in this room. Where are you? Could you picture the very Son of God out in your living room, down on one knee, saying, Father, I need you to bless him. Father, I need you to touch him. It ain't that he ain't there, but he's praying. He's interceding for you and me. The whole time I'm wondering where he is. The whole time is he saying, son, I'm praying for you. The reason I ain't in that bedroom is I'm out in that living room calling on the Father for your needs. 6.5 billion people in this world. Some of them have never had one person pray for them. But for every child of God, Jesus has prayed your name. He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these, referring to His disciples. For these are thine. I pray for my disciples. I call out my name unto the Father for my disciples. That means He called my name. That means He called your name, Brother Barkey. That means He called every child of God's name today. Lord, there's a lot of people I want to be on their prayer list. The most important list I'm on is the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah to God. And Lord, because I'm on that list, you're going to see me through. And because I'm on that list, I'm going to survive. And because I'm on that list, you have not forgotten me. I would hear me. Just give me a couple more minutes. If I ever find myself in that storm, I've got to remember I am gladdened by His presence. John 6:20, He saith unto them, It is I. Be not afraid. And Matthew 14:27, it says it like this. Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You can almost picture it, can't you? Here's these 12 disciples. And man, they're rowing. And they're rowing. I mean, they nearly pulled their shoulders out of socket, rowing so hard. I can just kind of picture, old Peter, he's always a loud mouth, you know. Row harder, boys! Old Thomas says, I don't think we're going to make it. He's always a doubter, ain't he? Say amen. I mean, son, they're rowing, they're toiling, they're arguing back and forth, they're crying, we're about to drown. But here's what you got to realize. The Bible reminds us there's 12 baskets full of bread. Something tells me they didn't let that bread go to waste on that shore. They're taking it home to mama. And if they just looked down at their feet, they would remind themselves that here's a God that works miracles. Hallelujah to God. Here's a God that can supply needs. And He didn't get me this far to let me drown now. They're tall and they're pawing. And if they would just look down at their feet, they may just let that oar go and say, Boys, we ain't making no headway anyhow. All I know is I'm getting a sore neck pulling against this storm. Boys, Jesus told us to get in this boat. Jesus met every need this morning. Jesus didn't let us starve on that embankment. And Jesus ain't going to let me drown in this boat. It's going to be all right, Peter. Sit on down. It's going to be all right, old Tommy. Sit on down. Everybody says, Hallelujah. We got bread in our feet. I'm telling somebody, I ain't telling you to look at your feet. But I'm telling you to look around. Look how God has blessed you. Look how God has helped you. Look at His mercies in the past. If He's big enough to touch there. He's big enough to touch now. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. If they just look around. Wait a second. You mean to tell me God touches here, God touches there, God. Now before you write off the 12, before you look down your nose at the 12, let me just ask you a question tonight. How did you respond to your first trial after your last blessing? I mean, son, Sunday night, they can shout around an altar. I mean, skip and jump. And Monday morning, they can call the pastor and say, if you don't come over here with 3 prayer cloths, I'm liable to give up. Friend, it's time you say, Lord, I'm not denying this is a trouble. I'm not denying this is a trial. And I ain't denying it's a terrible storm. But God, I ain't giving up on you because you showed me you was faithful last time. And if God, hey, let me ask you a question. What came through? Who came through for you last time? You didn't know how the bill was going to be paid. Has He ever let you go starving to death? Has He ever took food off of your plate? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor has seen begging. Oh, hallelujah, begging bread. He's still my God. He's still my God. He's still in control of every storm. And if I just look around, I can find the strength I need. We want the storm to be over before God ready for that storm to end. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord, listen, is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Isaiah 30:18. Write it down. You may just need it this week. Blessed are all... Let me tell you what God's waiting on some of you to do. God's waiting on some of you to start waiting on Him. Hey, there comes a place I don't know what to do. The best thing to do is not make a wrong decision, but wait on God. I know ain't none of you ever done this before. I guess that's just referred to myself. But there's been a time or two, Pastor, I've been guilty of wanting to pick that fruit before God said it's ripe. But Lord, it's right there. I mean, I don't even need any help from anybody. I mean, I can just reach it out and twist it off that vine. That ain't no big deal. I can do that on my own. I know that's the problem. You can do it on your own. The Lord says, wait. It's there. I know you see it. I know it's good fruit, but it's just not ripened yet. And you say, Lord, I know it's there. You know it's there. But in your timing, in your will, you're going to give me that when it's the best. Oh, and by the way, good is always enemy of best. Well, that seems to be God's good enough. No. I'm looking for God's best. Young person, you can get in a whole lot of trouble trying to pick God's blessings before God says it's ripe. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come. Friend, I'm closing. When I'm in a storm, I've got to remember, oh God, I'm gladdened by Your presence. God, I'm graced by Your prayers. God, I'm growing in Your plan. I'm governed by Your providence. Oh Father, I am guarded by Your power. I am guided by Your purpose. John 6:21, then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Now let me back up one verse for you. But He saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. What is that statement, I am, be not afraid? It's purposely an open-ended statement. I am. I am what? What do you need? Do you feel like tonight you're on the outside? I am the door. Do you feel like tonight you're dry and thirsty? I am the living waters. Do you feel like you're hungry tonight? I am the bread of life. Do you feel like you're in darkness? I am the light of the world. I am the truth. Say amen, somebody. I'm telling you, He is able to meet that situation. I am able. And all of a sudden, gets out there gets in that boat, and they turn around, and they're on that shore, and every last one of them's got a testimony. I can survive the storms of life. I can survive the storms of life. I can survive the storms of life. Hallelujah to God. Someone come help me, please, tonight, please. Not so much smooth sailing as much as God's interested in a safe landing. In fact, if the option is between smooth sailing or safe landing, you take safe landing every time. You can go to heaven with a messed up life. You can go to heaven with sores and wounds and scars that nobody else ever sees. You can go to heaven with broken hopes, broken dreams, and a broken life. But you can't go to heaven if you don't make Him Lord and say, God, when I land this plane, I want You to be absolutely in control. I was taking off going down to Guatemala one year. We took off on that plane. I mean, that Joe did just like that. I leaned over at the person beside me. I finally got my head and my stomach back together. And I looked at them and said, you know, I don't mind them taking off like that, but I sure don't want them going in for a landing like that. Amen. Friend, God can see you through your storms tonight. And before you ever get in there, get something underneath your belt tonight. And friend, hear me. If you're not in a storm, if you're not there yet, I'm so happy for you. I mean, who wouldn't want to rejoice with you? But without trying to be a prophet of doom, here's the truth. Sooner or later, another storm's going to come. Sooner or later, Diane, you know I'm telling you the truth. Some of those folks are going to come around, and some of them already have. In fact, you told me about it. And try to pull you back what they once were. God, before it ever happens, I'm going to come down to this altar tonight and pray, God, let me have the strength and the power that I need to overcome it, Father. Hallelujah to God. I'm there in Sudan, long story. I didn't know it was rainy season. Had I known it was the beginning of rainy season, I probably would have tried to ask to reschedule that. Hallelujah. I look across that field, and Brother Kelly, I mean some of the darkest clouds you ever done looked at, starts coming our way in the middle of one night. That little tent we're in starts shaking back and forth. And a torrential rainfall begins to come. I'm praying, God, You got to help us get out of here. All we have is a little dirt landing strip, and that half of that thing was underwater. And I asked the Sudanese people, some of the brothers there, I said, how long you reckon a storm will last for? And they said, oh, 2 to 3 months. I got 80,000 Sudanese praying against me. They're praying, God, we need every drop for our rainy season. And I'm praying, God, we need to make it dry so we can get out of here. I thank God for the Sudanese. Brother Zane's ready to go home and see Mama. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I was ready to see my bride. She's back in Mississippi. I was ready to see my wife. I'm ready to get home and see them babies. Well, I can't give you all the story, but I'm telling you, it was God. It was God. We finally got in touch through a satellite phone. Said, you got to come in here and get us. I mean, long story. You got to come in here and get us. And they said, well, brothers, we've heard that the landing strip is half underwater. If we come and we cannot land, it'll cost you $1,100. I said, come on. I mean, what else, you know? Come on. And that man comes on out. He begins to look around. He starts coming on down. He pulls that nose on up. And goes off in that distance. I felt like Paul. All hope was now lost. I mean, I got this weight in my stomach. I got this knot in my stomach. We just get down and cry and say, God, if it ain't You, it ain't going to happen. Come find out that man comes halfway back and stops at a refueling place. He's talking to another man. We didn't know at the time. The first plane was just to test the ground. It was too small to get us. He talks to one of his buddies. He says, "You're the only man I know good enough to land a plane on half a strip like that." That man comes on in there. I mean, son, turns that thing like, I mean, professional. Spins it around. Long story short, I'm out of that country. Thank God for it, but God gets me out of there. But I go back home. I go back home to Mississippi, and I'm telling my brother. You got to understand, that was right after Hurricane Katrina. It was right after that storm, Katrina. And my brother and his wife and their little boy is all in one room there at my grandmother's house. I mean, that's where they got to stay right there till their home gets back together. He begins to talk to me, and I begin to talk to him. He says, "Zane, when was that?" I said, "Well, it was on this day." And, of course, we're about 8 hours, 9 hours ahead of you. So it's probably been about this time early in the morning for y'all. Brother Paul, he looks at me and says, "Zane." He says, "That's the night our little three-year-old boy, his Ethan, jumps up out of a dead sleep, stands up on the side of that little playpen, and says to that mom and dad, 'Mama, Daddy, Zane, over and over again, calling out this preacher's name. My brother looks over at his wife and says, "Honey, I think God's trying to tell us wherever Zane is, he needs prayer. He needs prayer." My God, I'm telling somebody in this house tonight, if he's got to wake up a three-year-old boy to start a prayer meeting, God's big enough to do it. God's big enough to do it. He's big enough to see me through the storms of this life. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Somebody slip up your hand to heaven. Somebody begin to praise the name.